What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. I'm here with Lotus. Lotus is back from his adventures across... Do you still call it the pond when you're not going to England?
I flew past England.
You flew over England, probably.
That kind of counts, right?
That kind of counts. Yeah. So, hey, Lotus is back. Look, it's a Lotus. It's a face. We're here. We're not just on a call on your phone.
Yeah, I hope the audio quality wasn't too insufferable, as it wasn't the usual setup we have going for this with actual podcasting equipment. It was my phone.
Yeah, I think it worked out okay. But hey, Lotus is back, which means we can kick off this new series. We are celebrating the anniversaries, I guess, plural. We've got 10 years of ESO. We've got
Elder Scrolls Online is doing their 10th anniversary, but like the series has been around for, you know, a 30, long time at this
30
point.
Years?
30 going years. On 30 years.
Going on 30 years. Yeah.
So, you know, it seemed like a great place to kind of kick off. We were spitballing this idea beforehand of like, we've touched on the different older games. I like to try to, you know, touch on all of the weird ones as well.
You just love touching weird stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just what we do. Yeah. But it'd be kind of interesting to delve into, honestly, more so some of the older ones, the stories that a lot of people don't get to experience. And they're so fundamental to the series as a whole. And a lot of people don't understand that this is where a lot of what the lore is known from is started back all the way 30 years ago with games like Arena.
Yeah. So you've probably, if you've been following this show and going through all the episodes with us, you've heard us go through the main storyline of like Oblivion and Skyrim, but we haven't done that for the older games in the series, which are a little bit kind of crusty and old at this point, but still have some really interesting points, plot points, locations, characters that show up later in the series and other games. So that's what we're kicking off today. We are digging into Arena. We will be taking you through the main quest line, the main plot of Arena and the different places you visit and the main, I guess, events of the main quest line, because you could go back and play it, but those games just don't hold up so well. And by the way, the dungeons are gigantic. They're huge.
And anybody who's either watched my YouTubes of some of the classics or been with me on stream while I play through these and I don't look anything up, right? They're hard enough to play when you know where you're going a lot of the times, because like you can actually solve the first dungeon in Arena very quickly when you know what to do. When you don't know what to do, I think it took me 3 hours.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. So we're going to be taking you through a much more, easy to enjoy version of Arena. Yeah. And then we'll be moving on to the other games in the series. And this might take multiple episodes. It's going to take us a little bit because there are a few different things that we're going to point out. I'm going to be reading through some of the plot points and the descriptions and the text that shows up in the game so that you know what's going on. And Lotus is going to chime in with some extra little bits and nuggets here and there.
So Arena has a shocking amount of tie-ins to current Elder Scrolls Online, which I'm always amazed at the pretty deep cuts they go into with Elder Scrolls Online to make references all the way back to the original game.
Right. Right.
And these places and events have stayed important going throughout the series.
Right. So to kick this off, Arena, it plays just like any other RPG that you would know today, in the fact that it has a main quest line and then all of the side quest stuff. And in the more modern games, in games like Skyrim, you could totally just wander around. Once you do the intro, you could totally just avoid the main quest line for hundreds of hours and go do everything else. That works the same way in Arena. So what we're going to do is we're going to take you through the main quest line, and it goes to these different locations that might sound familiar. It starts in the Imperial Dungeons. It moves on to Fang Lair. I think we'll probably cover those first two on this episode. Then Labyrinthian, Elden Grove, the Halls of Colossus, the Crystal Tower, the Crypt of Hearts, Mirkwood, Dagoth Ur shows up. And
which
then
I love that Dagoth Ur is like so much more a place than a person when it comes right? to Arena. Right? And that's not what people know Dagoth Ur as.
Right, right. So Dagoth Ur shows up, but not in the way you might expect. And then the Imperial Palace. So here, let's start this off in the very beginning of the game. And if you're watching the video versions, we don't have, I'm not going to edit in all the different parts. That would take forever. This is mostly an audio podcast. So, so apologies for that. But
I do suggest before we dive into this though, as Weather Dragon actually mentioned, these games do have a retro charm to them. Maybe a little rough to go back and play, but visually, like just seeing them and some of the original ideas of how they're crafted in the old school pixel art is pretty neat.
Yeah.
The locations we mention on the main quest will have a splash screen, which with a little description. You can check them all out on the unofficial Elder Scrolls pages. Do yourself a favor and look at them. The pixel art is beautiful on these locations.
Yeah. Yeah. If you like the retro pixel art kind of thing, it's definitely
totally worth a look.
And at least taking a look at them. So here in the introductory scene of the game, we end up with this text that explains what's going on here. I'm going to read through it and Lotus is going to chime in a little bit. It says, for centuries, different factions battled in petty wars and border conflicts until in the second era, 896, Tiber Septim crushed all those who opposed him and took control, which we talked about in the last few episodes, proclaiming himself as emperor. Still, the bitter years of war had its effects on the populace. The name Tamriel, Elvish for Dawn's Beauty, seldom fell from anguished lips and was soon forgotten. In a place where life and death were different sides of the same coin tossed every day, the people of the world began calling the land of their sorrow the Arena, which we joke about all the time, how that's so cheesy.
One of the longest, cheesiest pun things that's in the game.
Right. So it goes on and says, now, 492 years after Tiber Septim took control and kept the peace, the land of the Arena has a new threat. The Emperor, Uriel Septim the Seventh, celebrates his 43rd birthday, but jealous hearts desire the throne and plot his downfall. It is said that hope flies on death's wings. Prepare then, for as the Elder Scrolls foretold, it will be here when your adventure begins. Uriel Septim the Fourth, Emperor of Tamriel, stands with Talon. That's a typo, right?
Yeah, that's a long-standing what?
Yeah, it's like, wait, what? We're jumping back three generations? No, that's a typo. He stands with Talon, leader of the Imperial Guards. They have been summoned by Jagar Tharn, Imperial Battle Mage of the Empire, on rumors of treachery. The Emperor is betrayed and transported to a dimension of Tharn's choosing. After months of preparation, Jagar Tharn takes the throne. Rhea Silmane, once Tharn's apprentice, is captured before she can warn the Elder Council of the Imperial Battle Mage's treachery. Manipulating the essence of magic, Tharn prepares to take the true Emperor's place as ruler of the known land. The Imperial Wizard wastes no time in gathering his servants and turning them into twisted counterparts of the Emperor's guard. Dun, dun, dun. There's all these cool panels that pop up as you're going through this with the text scrolled on.
Some of these
them.
Names you'll definitely recognize. The Tharns very specifically have had quite the lineage throughout the series. And again, the jokes aside, as people have mentioned, Shant, it was like, this is why I just interesting to note where it's like, this is a story, like this is a game world crafted and it's ever evolving fiction. It's why I have trouble when people get too hung up on details because the game starts with a typo.
Right. Like you can't hold these things too.
It's why I always strongly. Have a sense of humor about this stuff. And it's like, these stories are very fallible and crafted in fiction and they're super well written and I love all the deep stuff to them, but it's why when Lort stuff gets beyond the realm of fun, it's always like the game started on a typo, so let's just relax.
So the game also starts in a dungeon. And
it sure does.
Just like all of these, or at least a lot of the games in the main series, you are a prisoner and it starts in a dungeon or it starts in a prison cell or something like that, right? And You start off here at the beginning and you're having a dream, all right, Lotus, that's what's happening. And you get this vision in your dream.
You do, which changes actually, just as a weird side note. If you have the floppy version, it's just a still frame. If you have the CD
floppy
version,
disk version,
yeah, that's how old this is.
Yeah.
If you have the CD version, it's actually like a
animated,
really awkward FMV with voiceover.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, if you had the floppy version back then, if you didn't have a CD drive, which was
That was the hotness. Mine was an attachable one.
In the mid 90s. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a thing, too. So Rhea Silmaine shows up in this dream and says, "Do not fear, for it is I, Rhea Silmaine." Oh, thank God. I was afraid it was somebody else. Listen to me. There are no others left to carry on this fight. You have been left in the cell to die. Jaegar Tharn, Imperial Battle Mage of Tamriel, which you probably would have known at this point, has taken on the guise of the true Emperor. He does not see you as a threat, being only a minor part of the Imperial Court. In the act of arrogance, he has made his first mistake. Look to the north wall of the cell. You will find a ruby key, which will unlock the door. A ruby key just happens to be in your cell. Take it and make your escape. The passages here were once used by Tharn to hide treasures he had stolen from the Emperor's coffers. If you wish, you can gather enough to support yourself away from the Imperial seat. Be careful, there are many creatures which inhabit the sewers now, vile rats and goblins. So she's like, there's treasure that he just kind of like left down here because he used to steal it from the Emperor.
Emergency escape savings.
I guess. Pretty weird, right? She goes on and says, "It is too late for me, for I am already dead." Spoilers? No?
Okay.
Like,
all right.
Right.
I mean, I guess that also rewinding that a bit, it's like, okay, well, now I think I'm more nerd. Originally, it was like, oh, don't worry, it's me. Now I'm very worried because you just told me.
Don't worry, it's me, but I'm also dead.
But I'm also dead. It's like, whoa. Now I'm much more worried.
Wait, what? You're a ghost? You're a ghost in my dream. You're a dream ghost. All right. She goes on and says, "Only my powers as a sorceress keep me between this life and the next. That power, however, is waning. Do not succumb to greed, or you may find these tunnels to be your final resting place as well." Like, don't wander around too much trying to collect all the treasure.
Wander around just enough.
Just enough. I can still work my magic to a certain extent. If you travel west from this cell, then south, you will find a shift gate. Like, go west and then go south. Because we don't put little arrows on top of things.
Yes, so that's one thing. There are no markers in this game. So I started having to play with a notebook. Luckily, chat helped me along the way, but I literally had to take notes because people would give you directions and that's it. You got your directions. You didn't listen. Well, that sucks because now you're lost forever.
So that was like a real thing that happened in 90s RPGs, 80s and 90s RPGs, even like the old text ones. Sometimes you just had to keep a log on your own.
In-game journal was... it left a little something to be desired. Right. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah. And a lot of people would even draw their own maps because the mapping part of the software wasn't great and all that, or it wasn't even there. I will transport you far enough from the center of the empire that you should be safe. If you survive these sewers, you will see me again. Remember, then they say your player's name, which is kind of cool for a game that came out 30 years ago.
Yeah,
they
insert your name in there. Pretty advanced, right? From what I remember.
Yeah. Tharn has taken on the guise of the Emperor. No one will gainsay his word for yours. I will come to you again in your dreams. So it is imperative that you rest from time to time. In that way, I will be able to communicate with you and lend my aid. You are entering a dangerous arena, my friend. One in which the players are beings beyond your mortal comprehension. Like, wait. The world is the arena at this point. Have you just never gone outdoors?
Yeah. I, on top of that, rats and goblins are what she just warned us about.
Right. Watch out. Rats and goblins.
I think my mortal comprehension got it. Like, I think I'm okay with the rats and goblins.
Yeah. Yeah. Then she goes on and says, "I do not envy your role. This is, however, a power within you as yet." Oh, there is a power within you as yet untapped. Look for me. When you have gained experience in the world, you are my last and best hope. The way this is written, it's clear that they expected a significant percentage of the people playing this game had never played a role-playing game before.
Yeah, this is being treated like your first role-playing game. This is also much more like a tabletop role-playing game than what you get with Oblivion and Skyrim and Elder Scrolls Online. This is systems like, how can we turn a pen and paper tabletop RPG game into a literal computer game that you can do? Which for me, as somebody who doesn't really play tabletop role-playing games, was a bit of a struggle bus, because I had to learn what THACO was and all of that, because I've said this before on this show and on Tales, the bones of the series have kind of been there from the beginning, but a lot of the fine tuning has drastically changed from game to game. And this was more of like a just straight up RPG in a lot of ways. When you killed something, you got a set amount of experience points, not in the skill you used, just flat experience points. That's just what you did to level up. You had your main stats and stuff like that. It's like armor class was a thing. It's like, so the systems are a little weird, and it's like the story that's what's kind of like remained.
Right. And it also plays out the way that if you've ever played a Dungeons and Dragons adventure with a friend or run one yourself, where you got a like an adventure guide, and somebody has already written out the adventure for you, and then you as the DM have to read through that, and then you take certain sections and convey that to your party and all of that. This plays a lot like that, where you end up with a situation where you're given a lot of exposition about, like, here's what's going on, here's what your adventure is, here's what you need to do, what do you go do now? And then it's like, no more exposition, just go figure things out.
Our goal here is to kind of like deal with the main quest, but it's not, you know, it's worth mentioning the other aspects of all these games along the way. And one of the big ones is like the procedurally generated huge, huge world that you're in, because all of Tamriel is available in the Elder Scrolls 1 arena, which is mind-boggling for the time to begin with. But there's, you know, you can talk to all these villagers, and there's all these places you can traverse to, and it takes like legitimate effort. But the idea was to craft a living world that you could just play an RPG in. And the main story was an option along the way.
Right. You could go do this part, or you could just wander around and be an adventurer in the wilderness and go find.
Yeah, there is context, but that was not the only thing you could do. And it amazed me what you were able to do along the way in that game.
The amount of freedom is kind of daunting.
It's overwhelming, without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the arena, Lotus. That's just the nature of the arena. You take the key, you escape, and then you find you go west and then south.
Yeah. So if you ever decide to try this, and the running joke is most people don't get out of the first dungeon, actually, in arena.
So she wasn't joking. Those rats and goblins are...
Yeah, they're rough. But it also turns out that if you literally just do what she says, it's really easy to get out.
You just go right out.
The problem is nobody does. Well, most people don't do that, myself included, where I was like, okay, I just got to go to the west. And so she means literally go west, go south, and that's the door. Like, it's just those two directions,
and don't get lost.
The bottom corner of the map.
Don't get greedy.
You're done.
Don't go find all the treasure.
It's very straightforward.
Just
leave.
Portal.
Yes,
just leave.
It's very straightforward.
Yeah. So you find the gate, you go out the gate, you escape, and then you are on to the next main quest section, which is, I guess you are tasked with, well, you get another vision, but you're tasked with eventually going to Fang Lair.
Yeah, there's a vision that connects each of the quests, just for the sake of not needing to mention that every time. Each connecting quest, when you get to your location to progress it, you'll get a quest, or you get one when you go to sleep to get the next suggestion where to go.
And that's the other thing, is that some of these you have to go to sleep, or you just don't get the vision.
Yeah, you can't just stay awake forever. It doesn't work like that in arena if you want to actually play through the story.
Right. So it makes sense that they gave this guidance in the intro, and that you're actually supposed to follow where she says, don't get too greedy. Make sure that you rest and sleep, and be aware that she communicates through dreams. Like, if you actually take stock of that at the beginning of the game, the rest of the game becomes so much more easy, but yeah. it doesn't hold your hand. So if you don't want to do those things, or you just forget what she said at the beginning, then you're just kind of off on your own until you just happen to sleep again. And then all of a sudden you get this like, oh, this other vision. Oh yeah, I'm supposed to go do this next thing.
Exactly.
But otherwise you don't get a little marker. It doesn't tell you where to go.
No, there are no quest markers in this game. Yeah. You can make your own things on the map, which is kind of neat because the map is just like a very pixelated scroll that fills in as you walk around. You can actually take this little quill thing and you can actually write stuff on the map, which I did always appreciate because I would label random things.
Yeah.
So that's actually a really cool feature that I kind of wish they would bring it back, actually.
Yeah, that would be cool. That'd be cool. All right. Well, we got to move on to the next part because now we have to go to Fang Lair and we get another vision. But I'm going to read the vision to you when we get back because we have to go thank our patrons. So don't go anywhere.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. Big shout out to all of our patrons. Thank you to everybody who has supported the show either financially or by just being a part of the community or sharing with your friends, any of that stuff. And we have to shout out our newest members on the Patreon, Lothlorien Lightfoot and Black Wolf Raven X Chrissy. Very complicated name, but there's a lot of words in that one. Thank you so much for being here. I hope I read everything correctly. And we have to shout out our Daedric Princes, Blinding Vision, just a little bit of Chaos, and Kira C. Thank you so much for your support and for just making sure that we can keep doing this. We really do appreciate it.
Also, thank you everybody that I got to actually see in Amsterdam that was a fan of the show. Several people had mentioned they were listeners, and I got to put a face to the digital name type of deal. So that was also really cool. I'm glad that so many of you got to come up and say hi, because that was a pretty unique experience that you don't get to really do from this side of things very much. So it's very overwhelming to be like, oh, I'm so glad this helps you get through your workday or whatever.
It's so much nicer to actually meet people in person and talk to them about the things that we love, you know, being Elder Scrolls and all of that, than it is to just get like a random message. Like this, I'm sure you get these two Lotus where somebody just messaged you and they just write, hey.
Hey, I know, and it's always like, what? It makes sense in an interpersonal thing, but like without the context of that, it's like, right. I feel bad because I'm like, context? And again, everybody kind of got that in Amsterdam where they're like, oh, I'm so-and-so via tag.
Right,
it's like,
right.
Love that.
Yeah.
It's like, when you meet people, that's so amazing.
When you meet people in person, they'll tell you like, oh, this is the handle I go by. I've been, listening to the podcast or watching the streams or whatever. And then you have context. You're like, oh yeah, I've seen your name in chat or whatever. But when you just get a random message on some platform where it may not even be the same name that you see them and they just write, hey, it's like, well, I have no idea who this is. What is going on? Anyway, we've got more stuff to get to. But if you're interested in joining on the Patreon, head over to patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast and check everything out. There's t-shirts and stickers. You can join us on the patron chats, all that stuff. Plus, you can also get your words on the show by leaving a 5-star review. And just like these ones that showed up recently, this is from Wayward Jedi, who writes, "Keep up the amazing work. I love this podcast. Keep up the good work, Tom and Lotus." Well, thank you so much, Wayward Aww. Jedi. That's so nice of you. And then one from RTG640, who writes, "Great podcast. This is a great podcast. Gets me through those hot Florida days. Tell me about it. I randomly stumbled across this podcast about a month ago and binged all the episodes. Keep up the great work, guys." Thank you so much, RTG. So much support from all of you. We really do appreciate it. Thank you.
It means more than I think most of you probably actually understand from this. The messages and stuff like that really actually make our day. We always kind of joke back and forth on Discord, and I do the same with my other show too. It's like, well, okay, that just made my day. Just weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Face message it's, from somebody who's like, oh yeah, I just listened to the show. It makes my work day go by. I was like, oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah, no, and they really add up. And just one more little aside here while we're on the topic. Sometimes you get critiques online. You wouldn't believe it, but sometimes the internet is a toxic place. And just one of those sometimes can just ruin your day. So being able to see positive things from people who genuinely care, who aren't just miserable people who crap on everything on the internet.
Yes, or people who have critiques that are intentionally like, hey, this would be beneficial.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, I didn't think of that. Or that's another thing. Right. Love those. Like, yeah. That's
yeah. But just like, you guys are Bethesda fanboys. Like, every so often you get stupid crap like that. And it's like yep. Well, I like enjoying my games that I play. How about you? Oh, no, you just want to be miserable. Cool. All right. Well, here, let's stop picking on the toxic people on the internet. Time to move on. Talk about Fang Lair. Here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
People weren't just running up and hugging you. They're having a conversation in the chat right now.
That was the joke. Yeah, I was going to say, so I appreciate nobody just ran up and hugged me. Everybody was super nice. And they're like, could I have a picture with you? Can I have a hug? Like, it was so funny because it was like, everybody's so polite. Like,
That's great.
It was a very good, it seemed like most people, I mean, if you're going to spend that type of money to go to one of these things, it's because you're excited to go.
Yeah.
The goal is not to make anybody feel uncomfortable like these things. So it's like, I appreciated that everybody around the convention was like, yeah, no, this is very good. And everybody was in groups, so they were safe. It was very well done.
Yeah, very cool. All right, let's move on with the Fang Lair section. So you get another vision, you go to sleep, you get this other vision. And guess what? Rhea Silmane shows up again and she says, "I see you have strengthened your arm and your mind," meaning you've probably leveled up a little bit by this point. "It is time we began this journey. This is the Staff of Chaos, the one item that can open the door between this world and the dimension to which the Emperor has been banished. Tharn used this item to destroy my corporeal form." She could just say killed me, but cool. "When I tried to warn the council, he knew that the Staff of Chaos was nigh indestructible, having been made from the essence of the land capitalized itself." The staff is made from the land, just like most other things made out of wood or stone, I guess. "But in that he found the key and the land is split. So did he shatter the staff into 8 perfectly formed pieces? These he scattered across the realm. I have been able to divine the location of the first piece, a place called Fang Lair." So this is basically Harry Potter before Harry Potter was a thing. And they had to find all of Voldemort's, you know, whatever they were called. You know what I'm talking about?
All right. I'll believe you because I actually don't know anything about Harry Potter.
You're not into this. This is a common fantasy trope of like, this thing has been divided into multiple pieces. They've magic been scattered across the land.
Yeah.
You got to bring about Horcrux. Thank you, Rob the Princess. I'm not sure that's how you spell it. But anyway.
Nope, it is.
Maybe it is. If you were listening at home, just use your imagination. It goes on. Nose shards? Her scene says no shorts. Anyway, it goes on. It says, It is said that Fenglair was originally built by the dwarves of Cragen. Legend has it that a great worm drove the dwarves from their home in the Dragon's Teeth and took the lair for itself. I only wish I knew the exact location. Perhaps there are sages or scholars who would know of this place. Somewhere in its dank depths lies the first piece of the Staff of Chaos. I wish you well. I do not think Tharn knows of your escape, but I can do little else in this form. I have tried to obscure your identity with a spell, but I do not know how well it will hide you. Take care, for Tharn may be searching. Go forth with the blessings of the true Emperor and myself. So then you head off to Fenglair, which was a place where the dwarves, who at this time were probably actually dwarves,
yeah,
not Dwemer.
The Dwemer hadn't really formed yet, much like Weather Dragon jokes from Harry Potter to The Hobbit, because you're going to notice as we go through some of this, there is a lot of not even subtle, just like, hey, the Lord of the Rings is really cool.
Let's
just put it in Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, it's the cornerstone for all modern fantasy. So it makes sense that people were drawing that. So you figure out where Fenglair is. Long story short, you figure out where Fenglair is. You decide to go there. In going there, you end up going around a few different places, like in your search.
Yeah, so you kind of patrol Fenglair. So Fenglair has returned in the Elder Scrolls Online. It's actually a dungeon that you can play in the Elder Scrolls Online. Super, you know, it's been out for a while, but I find it to be a really fun dungeon. But it's a callback, obviously, to Arena's version. In Arena's version, there's just like minecart tunnels and lava all over the place. There's some dragon statues, if I remember correctly, out and about. And you basically just have to find your way to this like central chamber of importance that has the staff piece in it. It's booby trapped with a, if I remember correct, there is a riddle door in front of it. This is a gimmick that the game does a lot, where doors will be magically sealed. It will ask you a riddle, and you have to guess it right, or you're horribly punished. And sometimes, I'm pretty sure, again, it's been a couple of years since I've last played Arena, but in Fenglair, if you get it right, you're also punished. Because
great.
Arena doesn't like you.
Because Arena wants to kill you every chance it gets.
Yeah, so the door opens and hellhounds are just behind it guarding the staff and just blast you as soon as the doors open. So like you have to immediately know that's coming and dive out of the way. It's basically just like a lava, it's your generic lava pit area.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool looking. Like you said, the dwarves are more like, you do not see them. You don't see Dwemer. You don't see dwarves in there. Mm-hmm. But they've got little mine carts and stuff, like railway cart design and stuff. So it's kind of implied that it's just like, yeah, this is very Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, these are the deep mines where the dwarves were like smithing and crafting and gathering all their materials and everything.
Right.
So you get like these other tropes, right? Like you have like you play a little quiz game, you gotta answer some questions, and you gotta try to get it wrong.
Quiz game is pretty funny.
Yeah, and before you do that, you end up on this kind of the steps to getting there path, where you meet the ruler of Rihad, Queen Blubomka. That's a great name.
Yep.
Blubomka. And you go on this little side quest where you have to go to Stonekeep first, and you have to go through the Stonekeep dungeon, which includes areas of water, and chances are you're going to get wet unless you happen to have the levitate spell where you don't get wet, and you follow your way through the Stonekeep, you do the things that the queen wants, you go back to the queen, she tells you how to get to Fenglair. That's basically how that goes. And then you go through Fenglair dungeon like Lotus was explaining, and you end up with that little quiz at the end. Now, once this is all done and you get the staff piece that's in Fenglair, this is what happens. It says here, and we're pulling a lot of this from the UESP because they do a wonderful job consolidating a lot of this for us. It says, after collecting the staff piece, you may soon be greeted by a vision of Jaegar Tharn. Remember, she Rhea warned us, right?
Yep.
Who is using the same power Rhea is to talk to you. This may occur anytime a random monster encounter might occur. This just can happen.
Periodically, he just comes through your mystical metaphorical headset and just basically insults you. It's just like a running theme.
To insult
and it's just
you.
Like, you're a douche and I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, why? What, this mean spirited, like,
right? Like, why are you so mean, Jakar? It goes on and says, this may be while camping outside or in dungeons or any time in the wilderness or while wandering the city streets at night. And here's what he says.
All the scenarios.
Yeah. When he pops up in your brain, here's what he says. I do not know who you are, but you have made a fatal mistake. Rhea Silmane and her feeble powers are no protection for you. I should have discorporated. I should have discorporated her when I had the chance. Isn't that what he did? She said that.
Yeah. I don't remember this. Didn't he already decorporealize her originally?
Right. She's just like a
floaty. I thought we literally made this joke.
Magic spirit.
How do I not remember this?
Right, right. Pretty sure you already did that, dude. maybe he thinks that she didn't actually die. I don't know. I will not make the same mistake again. I will use the same dream bridge that she uses, sending my minions across time and space. Why is he going to the lengths to explain all of this to us?
Right.
Right.
So. I love the idea that they just dropped the idea of a dream bridge out of left field.
And it also teleports you not just through space, but through time.
Yes, sure.
So here's, let's just go in the future a little bit. Or just like three, four,
little
or
dream
five.
Bridge there.
Little dream, we're taking a little dream bridge into the future where the next Elder Scrolls game comes out. And I have no idea about what's in the next Elder Scrolls game. I do not work for Bethesda. They don't tell us anything. But what if there's some quest line, maybe even just a side quest somewhere, that has time travel in it? You know that the internet will go, oh my God, now they're adding time travel to Elder Scrolls. What the crap? Where do they get the stuff? You will know, having listened to this episode, that it was in the original game. That Jagar Tharn could send his minions across time and space. And this has been a piece of the game from the beginning. Not just like an ESO where you like your spirit travels to the past to see the events and then comes back to your body later. Like, none of that kind of stuff. Yeah. Actual time travel.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it was brought up Skyrim. There's lots of scenarios where you can see through time and stuff like
right.
that.
But actual time travel?
Yeah, no, you can just time travel.
Right. Actual time travel. This could just happen.
Why not?
It could just happen. Like, why not, right? Like, it's here. So, already they arrive, he goes on. Ones worthy of the attention you deserve. They will relieve you of the burden of the staff piece you now hold. Give it to them, and I will order your death painless and quick. Resist, and I shall see you in such suffering that you will grovel for the sweet release of death.
Great.
He's a real sweetie pie.
Yeah, he's a charmer.
This charmer. So that's how Fang Lair ends, and you are given this threat, right? And as soon as the vision ends, you're attacked by his minions.
You sure are.
Because he sent them to you through time and space.
Exactly.
Right. So that's the end, Fang Lair. And that's about as much time as we have to get to on this episode. But we will continue next time with Labyrinthian, which is cool that it shows up in Arena, right? And then there's I mentioned these before, Elden Grove, Halls of Colossus, Crystal Tower, Crypt of Hearts, Mirkwood, Dagoth-ur, the place, and the Imperial Palace. So we've still got a number of these to get to, and I hope you are enjoying our look at these. Any other thoughts from you before we close this
one
out?
Of the things, yeah. So one of the things that I appreciate and kind of find interesting. So this is more so for people who play Elder Scrolls Online, and the tie into some of this old stuff. One of the things, like I already referenced Fang Lair being the case, but we'll see a couple scenarios where you will actually see events, not exactly the same, but they mirror what you've seen throughout the series, which I find kind of interesting. And a couple of them kind of almost seem like they're callbacks to, like, hey, here's a reference in Elder Scrolls Online to something that happened in Arena, because the population has obviously since exploded since the days of Arena. The people who have played Arena pale in comparison to any of the newer games, specifically, you know, Skyrim or Oblivion or Elder Scrolls Online, which, you know, in the several millions. So I actually really, really like that there's so many references and that this series has grown out of what started here. You know, despite the kind of like jokey stuff that we've referenced, I like that even though the series has evolved, they've always kind of remembered the basis of where they came from. The thing that's a little weird, some of the things the series is most well known for, Khajiit and Argonians being so unique, they're not what you think in Arena.
Right. They're just kind of beasts. They're not really
Kind of people, actually, who are a little weird.
Oh, are they people that are weird?
They're just straight up people who are a little weird. Oh, like Khajiit, they have a lot of tattoos that look like fur.
Oh, right, right, right.
But they have tails. Yeah. So it's like, well, they're kind of cat people, but like not... Like Argonians became much, much more involved and stuff like that. I don't remember offhand how much they, I don't believe they get too much into the Hist or anything like that, but like they're Ardasian. But then you have things like orcs.
Right.
Orcs.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of as being.
That's what
like
I was about to say.
Beasts.
Orcs are not a fully fleshed out race in the game yet. They're just generic orc enemy, just orcs. They just run at you. They're not the Orsimer yet. So they're super forgettable. And actually, you know what? If I'm remembering correctly, Argonians are lizard mans in this game.
That's right. Yeah. That sounds
what I was like. I feel like there was something more notable about them.
Lizard mans. Yep.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Weather's bringing up. So that's just it. It's like that you fight generic lizard mans, which I do remember being very weird that my game had like that typo where it wasn't lizard men when there were multiple. It was just referred to as lizard man. And then they just put an S at the end.
I'm pretty sure that was like a programming thing where like,
I'm sure
the beast program. Or the person or whatever is called a lizard man. And so when it's plural, they just add an S.
It's
by
just
default.
An auto.
Right. It's an auto
from the proceduraling.
Right.
Procedural stuff. Yeah. But I just love the fact that like so many of the things are there at the start and they grow into so much more that the series kind of like has embraced and made their own. But it's all, not all, but so much of it is there right from the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's pixelated glory.
Yeah. All the bones of things are there. And Ghost Toadlet reminds us that they did send dragons into the future. That's part of the storyline in
good
Skyrim,
point.
Right?
Other than, I was going to say, other than the visions you had, you actually slingshotted Alduin all over the place.
Right. There is some of that.
Good
that's also
Toadlet.
Why the dragons show up in the fourth era as opposed
to
whatever.
Yeah.
Due to time travel.
Good point. Because I was just thinking of the visions that you run into.
Yeah. Although it feels very different for Jaegar Tharn to just be like, oh, I can just time travel whoever I want whenever I want, rather than there was this like world ending apocalyptic amount of magic that changed things. And like those two seem like those are completely different scales, you know, of like events.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's something about just like, we just time travel whenever I want. Like that's like, okay, sure. Weird. But yeah, thank you for the reminder, Ghost Toadlet.
Yeah, no, that's actually a good call out. But yeah, it's this will be an interesting little journey. Also, the other thing is us breaking this up. These games, if you actually do the main quest, even though these games are enormous as a whole, these are not going to take that many episodes to get through if you're curious, just because the places you mentioned, those are all of the main quest markers. That's the whole thing.
There's only 10. And we had the introduction. We were talking about last week's stuff on this episode, so we only got through two, but I have a feeling we'll knock out three or four in the next one. And then
it's probably going to be three or four. So this is probably going to be like, okay, we're most likely these games will only be an episode or two per probably about two to three, honestly.
Yeah.
Just because streamlining, people have played Skyrim for thousands of hours. If you want to streamline the main quest, it's like 8 to 10 hours long.
Yeah, and people can speedrun that game in like 40 minutes or something. Like, it's crazy. I don't remember the exact amount of time, but you can glitch your way through it even faster. But
unless it's Morrowind, you can physically get through them pretty quick. But Morrowind and Daggerfall, not as much.
yeah. Well, thanks for being here, everybody. Lotus, I know you got to hang out with Arcanir for the first time. And I know
did.
You guys did like a special Tales of Tamriel episode.
Yeah, so we did a Live from Amsterdam episode, which actually goes up on tomorrow. So the same day as you're listening to this, it will be live. We actually just premiered. We had to record it there, and we just played it for everybody on Twitch so that people could actually see it. But that'll be getting uploaded, so you can check out our first meeting, which was wild. After
in person, how many years has
it
been?
I believe when we figured it out, it was we've known each other for 8 years and never met.
Oh my god, that's so crazy.
And we've been podcasting for six or seven.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think 7 years we've been podcasting together, and we've known each other for like 8 years, and we finally got to meet, which was wild.
Yeah, that's cool. He just needs to. He just needs to. I know he's complained about some of the things going on in.
He's already getting started on trying to come to the U.S. event in 2025.
He should just move. I've teased him about this. He should just move over. Just move over. It's so easy to just change countries you live in.
Yeah, but no big deal. 7,300 miles.
Right, but whatever. He speaks English great. Like he would totally. He's. I'm sure he can get a job. Like he's an educated, talented programmer. Like he.
Yeah, I was gonna say Ark is a wildly good programmer from any of his streams that anybody might have seen, especially the game. He made during Last Extra Life.
Yeah, so it's just the green card is the hard part, but anyway. Ark, we'd love to have you come join us.
Exactly.
Come on over here. All right, well, go check out Tales of Tamriel, and if you've been tuning into the Fallout TV show, it dropped last night as of when we're recording this now, and I got to see the first two episodes, and I was cautiously optimistic, and then the trailers dropped and I was like, ooh, this feels like it's really going to be good, and I'm happy to say that it is freaking amazing. It is so good. You should go watch it. And then if you have any questions about Fallout lore, who any of the factions are, or the history of the world, any of that stuff, go check out the Fallout Lorecast. I explain a whole bunch of those details in almost 300 episodes now. So lots of content for you to get the background on all of that stuff if you're interested. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. Lotus, it's been fun as usual. Hold on, wait a minute. We didn't do the random page.
I love the outro. We forgot. We immediately stopped.
We forgot.
Like, oh, wait, we ruined it.
No, wait, we ruined it. Okay, I'm going to hit it. Thank you, Hercene. I forgot. I get so excited about all these other things. All right. Random page. I hit it.
Yes, we need our random USB page. Boom. You thought we missed it, but instead, Hercene saved the day.
Lotus.
Tell me it's an arena page.
It's not an arena page. This one is, I think you're going to be excited about this. This is an ESO thing.
Okay.
It is an achievement. It's one of your favorite things.
Oh, hell yeah. Now we're talking.
Yeah. This is the Alakir Desert Adventurer Achievement.
This is for doing all of the quests in the Alakir Desert?
Well, here's what it says. Alakir Desert Adventurer is awarded for completing 42 quests in Alakir Desert. This includes both the Alakir Desert main quest as well as any side quests. It does not include Crafting Writs, Fighter's Guild, or Mage's Guild quests, or pledges for the Undaunted. There are far more than enough quests available to earn this achievement, so it is not necessary to complete every single quest. This achievement will allow you to purchase a standing and say statue for your house, which costs 15,000 gold and can be purchased from Lazo Tusks in Kozensat.
So that statue is wicked cool looking. And I was close. None of the zones for your zone achievement require all of the quests, and repeatables don't count. But I actually remember this one. This is part of the Grand Adventure achievement, which I guess actually as an outro, if you do play Elder Scrolls Online, coming up with Gold Road, I strongly suggest you go through all of the main stories in the game, because the game has a little surprise for you, we found out.
What?
Yep.
Are you allowed to tell us? I don't know about this.
There is a new achievement being put into the game called the 10-year anniversary for completing every main quest in the game, and you get a unique designed skin for your character.
What?
If you can do it.
Oh, yep. That's so cool. Okay, I need to go back and do some more questing again.
That includes all of the main quests.
I'm pretty close. At some point, I was trying to get through every quest in the game. And then I kind of trailed off on some other stuff.
Daunting task.
There's a lot of quests. But I may have done, I'm pretty close to all the main quests, I think.
The skin is very cool looking. But yes, it's all those DLCs, those zone DLCs, it's stuff like they're all worth playing, but it's very, very cool. And it's a really neat little reward.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that was our.
Thanks for your scene for reminding us.
Thanks for the reminder, chat. That was the random page. Thanks again for being here. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye for real.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.